Oasis Audio presents Joyful Sorrow by Julie Bussler, read for you by Pamela Klein. Introduction. My mind was made up. Having already contemplated details, I was waiting for the right moment to end my life at only 34 years of age. I was a wife, mother, and follower of Jesus who lived to make him known in the predominantly Muslim country of Turkey. And yet, the very hope I proclaimed somehow slipped through my fingers. What's frightening is that no one knew. How can a Christian struggle with such darkness? I honestly didn't know. I was ashamed, so I didn't tell. For years, intrusive thoughts were a hidden plague within my mind, beginning after I witnessed the graphic death of my mother when I was a teenager. Her death was beyond my ability to cope. It was traumatic. My teen years were supposed to be that carefree season in life I would look back on as the good old days, but my mother's cancer gave me a different narrative. Several years later, my thoughts only grew more disturbing after my dad's death by suicide shattered what was left of my life. What began as thoughts of despair slowly blossomed into life-threatening commands that painted death in my broken brain as glamorous, even courageous. I was in pain, and death would remedy that. My thinking possessed a great paradox. My faith was in Christ, and my hope was in a secured future with him. But my coexisting irrational, albeit logical, suicidal thinking pulled my faith-filled gaze away from Jesus and focused solely on the temporary pain that I believed was unendurable. This double mind created instability. I supposed I was suffering from depression and post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. But the isolating, vicious cycle of hiding everything with unfortunate ease behind a smiling, friendly exterior was the only way I knew to survive. The undiagnosed, untreated mental illness I was living with was killing me, and no one, not even my husband, suspected what I was contemplating. Depression trapped me like an excruciating night terror that seemed impossible to wake up from. When my children were at school and my husband was at work, the paralyzing darkness would often strap me to the bed in hopeless defeat. Tyrannical thoughts, graphic images, and imaginings consumed my mind, nearly causing irrevocable action on my part. What I now understand to be illness hijacked my thinking, leading me to believe with irrational certainty that I was a burden on my family. Thoughts of living the rest of my life without relief were an insurmountable obstacle that led to my secret obsession with suicide. There was only one missing thing, the note. With the assumption that it would be found after I was gone, I hid away in a small room in our apartment in Istanbul, Turkey. I slid down the wall and sat on the cold tile floor while my children played in the other room. I opened up the notepad on my phone and typed this simple goodbye. I guess I'm just like my dad. I'm sorry. Details of my dad's suicide surged through my mind at lightning speed with each letter I typed. While 7 years crept by since he left me orphaned with his one pull of the trigger, my heart was still as raw as the moment I read his own suicide note. God would eventually use my father's death to create compassion in me for those who are dying without hope. Yet even after seeing how good could miraculously come from such tragedy, the palpable pain created a desperate appetite in my inner being to make it stop. Devastating circumstances can confuse a mind that once grasped truth. Suffering fed my deep feelings of loneliness, despite being surrounded by my loving family. As angry as I was at my dad, somewhere along the way I started identifying with my earthly father over my heavenly father. Despite not wanting to be like him, I started to believe that being like him was inevitable. As a mother, part of me wouldn't wish that uniquely devastating pain upon my children, but I was also an abandoned daughter left behind by her dad's choice.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?